Oh, and it's a miracle. We actually got it in the next day. Part 2, Area Fishing Report, with Fish and Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me. And it's just an exciting morning to be in the bait business. I mean, what else can you do? But you're just sitting here going, oh my God, I'm glad I'm alive. I'm glad I'm in the bait business. It's a wonderful morning.
Wow.
Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, sir.
Oh.
There was a lot of fishtails right there.
Yes, there sure is. And the crowd goes crazy. We love our studio audience here in our fantastic, glorious studios in downtown Charlotte Harbor. And let's see. We were doing... Okay, everybody. That's it. Settle down. I know Robert's exciting. I mean, you know. So, all right. Well, wait a minute. I want to do that. Okay. It's a bit of copy and paste here so I can get everything right. All right, we left off with the Area Fishing Report, kind of going down the place by place. But we're up to Lemon Bay. Now, I'm sitting here picking the glue off my hands. I had to run new, you know, the glamorous life of the bait shop owner.
Yeah.
Poor Andrew and I, we were out there in the back in the sun and we added a filter under the shiner tanks because we're trying to get back in the freshwater bait business because, 8 months of having the bait die on us.
Yeah.
And then we found out the county changed the water formula and added a new wonderful chemical that our bait won't live in. So, reverse osmosis system, put all that in, had the chillers fixed, and then added a big filter, and then the drain on the tanks wouldn't handle the filter, so I had to rerun all that, and we just got done with all that. My hands are full of glue. But, sweaty, grimy, it's all adjectives that apply.
Oh, yes.
Gosh, that hurts. All right, anyway, let's see. It's nice doing a little work. All right, we're at Lemon Bay. That's what we were talking about. You were talking about Lemon Bay, weren't you?
Yes.
Okay.
We're getting ready to start on it.
Okay, go ahead, Lemon Bay.
Some guy interrupted.
I don't know. I'm the only other one here, and I am not interrupting anything. I don't get where this is all going.
I'm not pointing any fingers.
Okay.
Just making a statement.
Gotcha. All right, statement yourself into Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay has been pretty good. I mean, the water's a little cooler there because it is a lot cleaner. We've had some weird rain patterns going on, so the water's actually really cool, like 2-3 degrees cooler down there than it is up in the harbor easily.
Up there, sorry.
Up there,
yes,
down there.
Yes, they're up from us. Almost everybody's up from us.
How about west of us?
Yeah, it's west, but it is northwest. You guys beat me up yesterday on Bayshore Pier, so I'm sorry. Yes, I know it points there, but the whole rest of the harbor is west of it.
Yeah, I get it.
That's okay. Do whatever you want, but we're gonna call this
one. I'm gonna take you out and watch the sunset one of these nights.
It sounds so romantic.
It does, doesn't it?
Yes, it sounds.
We can go skip down to the end of the pier, holding hands, and see what kind of looks we get from everybody.
God, you're a sick pup. All right, I want to do Lemon Bay eventually here.
At the beginning of the pass, that whole leading edge going into the intercoastal has had some really big whiting. Some of the guys have been tearing up some good whiting there. A few snook. There's been an incidental bull red coming through, which has been weird because a couple guys have been talking about catching those as bycatch while they're fishing.
Sorry about that. I had to get my coffee.
That's all good.
It would be illegal to do nicotine and coffee in a building, so we would never do that.
No, never.
So.
Never.
Anyway, we're lying through our teeth. So anyway, what? It would never break the law, ever.
Yeah.
It would never happen. All right, now, Lemon Bay, you said what was there?
That leading edge going from the pass coming inside along the intercoastal. A lot of guys have been fishing.
Are you talking about Ski Alley right there?
No, the south side, kind of behind the island. Okay. What's that island right there that separates Stump Pass from Inglewood?
Gotcha.
Palm Island? Or is that Don Pedro Park and all that crap?
God, I don't know.
I can't remember. My brain just mushed.
Yeah. You know, the gaseous material in my intestine has bubbled up my spinal column and hit my brain. So,
right.
Brain fart. All right.
Either way, the leading edge going kind of to the south along the intercoastal from the pass. The guys have been doing real good on some big whiting there with a few snook and a couple big bull reds. and as they work along the intercoastal, fish in some of those docks and the outer edges of the docks along the main channel. They've been getting a few trout, not many quantity wise, but definitely a little bit better quality again. There has been some redfish and snook underneath the docks. And then a couple of guys have been slow trolling through the channel and along that miserable mile and doing fairly well on Spanish mackerel with an oddball bluefish. So it's been kind of a mixed bag through there. You know, it's not gangbusters, but by all means it's been pretty decent. And there's a lot of small white bait all over the place up and down the intercoastal there. So guys have been finding some of that and using that.
What would you troll along there?
Honestly, I would troll that twitch stick.
Just on twitch?
Yeah.
Now, are you still going with the traditional ghost?
Yeah. It just works so well. I mean, dark water, clean water, all the different species we've seen caught on that thing, I just have so much confidence in it to stick with it. You know, it's one of those kind of fail-safe lures, it seems like.
Yeah. What would be a second guess? Maybe a 14 bomber?
14 bomber, or even just a plain old silver spoon.
I'm not big on trolling spoons anymore. Even when I use the good ball bearing swivels, it twists up so much and braid is so darn expensive.
Yeah.
I'm not big on trolling the spoons. I've been sticking with the lip lures, the regular crankbaits. I'm going to say a rattle trap on the other side. Quarter ounce rattle trap.
Wonder what that new Rapala would do trolling.
I don't think. Now, there's one of them that's supposed to do, but I'm the new single hook lures you're talking about. There's one of them that's supposed to have pretty good action doing that, but I have not tried it, and I'm unwilling to recommend anything I haven't seen with my
right.
eyes.
Absolutely.
So
I just didn't know if you had more insight on it than I did.
The guys from Rapala were telling me that one of the new hooked lures, single hook lures, one of their brand new line that came out, and it kind of, I think it's the one that's kind of like a subwalk that has good action pulling it. But we're going to have to put them in the bait tank and pull them through and see what they're going to look like. I don't know if they're going to come back like a dead stick without you on the rod, or if they actually have action. I don't believe anything anybody tells me until I see it with my own eyes.
That's the way I am.
Yeah,
you taught me that a long time ago.
Yeah, because, big corporations might lie. I got to tell you, I have the utmost respect for Rapala. They are the first company to get their head out of their butt and actually do it correctly. Get the items in the store before the mass media park. I cannot tell you what a revelation that is. I mean, I'm just still astounded, flabbergasted. Hats off to Rapala. You guys at Rapala are the king of the lure industry.
Absolutely.
The number one best there is. Nobody is like you guys. I have never seen a company who actually listens as well. Now, I'm still a big fan of a lot of the other lure companies. We got a lot of friends in the lure industry, but nobody else does it as good as Rapala.
Right.
Hats off to you guys. So anyway, we won't know. We will come back. We're going to be testing some of those lures. We got quite a few different ones in the tank. We do have lures with a lip on them for trolling in the Gulf. Single hook lures for in the Gulf, in the harbor, stuff like that. Not so much for canals yet, but we're hoping they listen to us one more time and bring out the 08 series in a single hook, and that's going to be a tremendous, tremendous lure.
Yeah, that'll be pretty awesome.
But I'm going to go on this a 14 bomber.
There you go.
To me, if I was going to do that 14 bomber, I would do the blue back white with the orange belly.
Right.
I really like that color pattern out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you could use the black, silver, and everything, but I would...
A personal favorite.
Yeah, it's a personal favorite. So I'm going to go...
I have pretty good confidence in that lure, too. It's a weird color, but it works pretty darn consistently. You know, and having that little orange belly, it kind of makes it a good crossover with if you get some of the tannin water or the clear water, it seems to hold up pretty well. You know, unlike some of the other colors get real specific at times.
Yeah. Now, woot. I type woot. the U and the I are next to each other on the darn keyboard. So anyway, going back, we've hit that. We beat that place up. We're leaving Lemon Bay. Let's go all the way down to Matt Lachey. Now, Matt Lachey is the area between Pine Island and the mainland. That's where the bridge connects. And there's a really cool little town there, Matt Lachey.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, it was, yeah, Matlacha.
Yeah.
Matlacha.
Yeah.
All right. If you're going down to Matlacha, it used to be a lot of, like, antique stores. There's still a pretty good, a couple of really nice restaurants down there. You know, I like, you know, every once in a while, I drive down to Matlacha just to, kind of like old school, old world. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of neat. Very touristy, but very, very cool.
Yeah, we got a store going in on North Fort Myers. So if you're down Cape Coral, North Fort Myers, we will be opening a Fish and Frank's on 41, right on the main drag. It's right next to where the Northern Tool was in that old gas station.
Right.
And we're going to be there. There's going to be, we're not doing any newspaper ads. We're not announcing it to anywhere except our regular customers. So, you know, I want to get a chance to get in there and get everything worked out.
Dialed in right,
because it's embarrassing to do it really wrong, and right. I've done many things really wrong at first. I usually self-correct. I've got a great self-correction, but it doesn't mean the first attempt was really good. So
right,
all right, Matt Lachey, cool place down there. There's a boat ramp. D&D has a tackle store there. D&D still in business?
Yes.
Because they had a boat ramp right next there, and the people at D&D, they're not very nice people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Hear a lot of good things about them.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to send you to another bait shop, but to be quite honest, it is a good bait shop.
Right.
So
if you're going to do it, send them somewhere that's worthwhile.
Exactly. You know, there was another bait shop on Pine Island. I really, really liked the people there, but they just went out of business. Tough racket. All right, Matt Lachey, I know there's some redfish just to the north.
Yeah.
Anything going on to the south down there?
I've heard of some juvenile tarpon down around that on the south side, and especially more towards the Cape Coral side rather than the Pine Island side. Been a few trout out there on the flats mixed in with some of those redfish. And then a few guys have been catching some mangrove snapper and an oddball incidental snook off of the old bridge itself. You know, it hasn't been gangbusters down there. This time of year is always a little funky depending on the amount of rain coming through. And we get scattered reports and the news doesn't help. You know, the news is always doom and gloom with how much bad water is coming out. And it makes people leery even though there's nothing wrong with it. And the fishing is still pretty darn good. We just start to get fewer reports when there's more doom and gloom.
How can somebody say the water in Okeechobee's poisoned? When it's still world famous bass fishing, crappie fishing, gar fishing, catfish fishing, there's everything in Lake Okeechobee. Everything lives there.
Yeah,
it's an amazing, beautiful place. Yeah. I cannot recommend going to Okeechobee enough. If you've never fished Okeechobee, you need to do that at least once. It should be on the bucket list. It's a massive lake, and you can get lost in those the cattail growth and all the grass and stuff. I mean,
the buggy whips or whatever.
Oh yeah, it's just crazy down there. It's massive, and there's so many fish. Now mixing the nutrients and then having them all run down the canals and stuff. What's happening on the east coast of Florida is because of a lack of tidal flow. It's a very constricted area that should be salt water.
Right.
Should be salt water. And it's always a little bit brackish because of the dump, and that just means a little less salt. But now it turned into complete fresh water, and it is a nightmare because there's nowhere for that discharge water to get out.
Not fast enough, yeah.
We are having problems in Charlotte Harbor, but we have Ponderosa Pass, Redfish, Captiva, all these passes down there to get that water out so we can get salt water back in and keep the balance of stuff going. It doesn't always work. We are having the same problems at a much more minor level than the East Coast. But it's a problem with getting that water out of those intercoastal channels. It's not supposed to be fresh, and when it turns all fresh and then gets hot in a saltwater area, everything goes bad.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest problem. It's just too much. I mean, I hate to say it, but they should have diverted more water on the Coosawhatchie. We could have handled it better than the East Coast could.
Right.
They should have reduced the volume on the East Coast and gave us a little bit more. Not that I want it here, and not that it's good for Fort Myers, but it's, we handle it better than they do, and they're in bad shape over there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's horrific. And that's why I say, I mean, I don't want it here any more than they want it there, but we could have dealt with it easier. It would have been a better thing. And it could have saved, I mean, people in tackle shops over there, I don't know how they're going to stay in business. I am, my heart goes out to them. I just cannot imagine what they're going through over there.
No, neither can I.
Anyway, we're back here on Matt Lachey. Happy times. Happy, happy. Yay.
Happy,
okay,
happy, joy,
yes.
Joy.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Dancing, meepos. Ha, ha. People laughing, all that kind of stuff. All right. Let's see. Redfish is spelled with one R, isn't it?
Right. Yes.
Okay. Now, let's go down to the Myakka, or up to the Myakka River system from Matt Lachey. Anything happening around Eljo?
Eljo's been more, it's actually been better in the evenings and right at first light in the morning. Been a few snaps.
Come on, I said happy, happy, joy, joy, not deadpan.
No.
Liven up.
Okay, sorry.
All right.
Is that better?
Okay. That works. Okay, I'm good.
Right. Early mornings and evenings been the best, just because it's been so blooming hot. Even though there's so much structure there and a lot of shade, the middle of the day has been a little slow for some of the guys. But early morning, evenings, there's been some nice snapper, quite a few snook. Been hearing of a lot of black drum still. I mean, I think this whole summer has been like silly with black drum. It's pretty impressive. And then there's been a lot of juvenile and sub-adult tarpon hanging around the actual bridge itself with a few fish right out front, just a little bit further kind of out. And I would call it kind of more the open part of the river. Trying to think what else. They've had some bait moving around through there, some glass minnows and some small white bait fry.
All right, what's anything in the cutoff?
The cutoff's had some snook right at the very northern entrance and a few oddball redfish, but it's been so hot inside, a lot of guys just aren't fishing it because you get out of that wind, any little slight breeze, you're out of it, and the sun's just going to cook you.
Well, not only that, but don't. If you're in the Myakka cutoff and you find some fish and everything, and you get a line into the mangroves, don't go after it.
Oh, no.
Don't touch the mangroves right now. It's, what happens is you're in an area and it's very calm because, you know, you're surrounded by mangroves, small area like the Myakka cutoff, and the no-see-ums and mosquitoes don't know you're there until you touch the mangrove tree.
Yep.
And then a swarm will come out.
Yes, and they will not leave you alone because they send off a signal that says, hey, look at this.
Yeah, food! And then you've got all the no-see-ums, the mosquitoes, you got everything just swarming the boat, and all you can do is fire up, get on plane, and get out of there. And right. I don't think you can do it fast enough.
No.
So if you're up in there and you get something tangled up in the trees, number one rule is leave it there until you're done fishing.
Right.
I won't even jerk it to pull. I'll give it a couple little quick tugs to see if I can pop it out easy. But if I can't, I just go back to quiet. Because touching a mangrove tree at this time of year is not smart.
No. Especially in there.
I you know, it's amazing. I ended up adding that in because I've had so many people in recently. And I said, oh, yeah, they were fishing in this back, you know, talking about Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, cut off, or on the east side around some islands. I said, and they went up to get something out of the trees, and huge mistake, they touched the mangroves.
Swarm.
And they're like, what does that have to do with anything? And these bugs hide in the shade of the leaves,
yeah.
And underneath all the leaves and the branches, and there's millions of them. And if you're up north, if you're in Canada, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, you've heard of chiggers.
Yeah.
No-see-um is a southern phrase for northern chiggers. And I think it's a more apt description because they're so tiny you can't really see them. So
right.
You no-see-um. So I'm sure there was some redneck involved in that. I don't know. I don't see nothing.
Right, exactly. Okay.
So anyway, but that's why you don't touch the mangroves. And now we've got the passes coming up. What's going on in the passes? Anything in Venice?
Venice has had some Spanish mackerel coming and going through there with a bunch of small snapper. And then there's been some really good snook activity at night there. I've heard of a couple small juvenile tarpon. And that's kind of about it there. You know, it's
how about Boca?
Funky. Boca's been a little bit better. There's been some whiting, a few pompano, a lot of small gags and reds kind of throughout the whole center of the pass. The snapper bite, you know, it's still there, but they're mostly on the smaller side. And then the Spanish mackerel have been more on the outside edge of the pass, but a couple guys have been catching some decent fish in there. The redfish and snook activity at night has been really good, especially on the Johnson's or the Cayo Costa side, right on that little cut through between Johnson Shoals and the backside, I guess. Basically right along the edge there of the pass in the island.
All right. Anything down in Ponarasa?
Ponarasa's just had some snook in it that I've heard about, but nothing gangbusters. It's been a little quiet down there. You know, Redfish Pass is loaded with snook, and Captiva Pass is almost identical to what's been happening in Boca Grande, except for I've heard of a couple legal gags caught out of Captiva recently, but the guy wasn't specific whether it was the other day or last week.
Gotcha. All right, let's take a jog from the passes and go all the way up to the Peace River.
A lot of gar, a lot of catfish. there's been some pretty decent black drum up there still, from the 75 up to like the power lines. And
what was that?
The black drum.
Oh, around I-75?
Yeah, from 75 up to like the power lines. I've been hearing mixed reports of them kind of moving back and forth here. It seems like there's a better concentration at the bridge, but I've heard of small little break-offs of like 2 to 10 fish swimming just lollygagging along the surface up towards... Yeah, that's the power lines right above you, right?
Right, the power lines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's been some juvenile tarpon scattered throughout there. I haven't heard of any adults or anything, but that's about all I've really kind of heard there. Usually you hear some mixed activity of the snook and an oddball redfish, but that's been pretty quiet.
Okay, I'm almost done here. All right, trying to do two things at once. I'm not even good at one thing at once. Okay, let's do Pine Island Sound. Now, Pine Island Sound is when you're, if you were looking at Boca Grande Pass, it's the area to the south of there. It's not the side by the Barrier Islands. It's literally the west shore of Pine Island itself going out to the ICW. And we kind of include the ICW and that whole flats area. And flats area, you know, it's funny. I've actually had people ask, you know, where are the flats? Well, it's not a trick question. The flats are exactly that. It's mostly flat bottom and 3 feet of water or less.
Right.
And that's really why they're called that. The flats is because, you know, there's some dimpling to the bottom, which we call potholes. But a lot of times the potholes are only 4 to 6 inches deep.
Right.
I mean, it only, if you got 2 feet of water and you have a 6-inch pothole, that's 25% of the entire depth.
Right.
It's like you got 40 feet of water, you got a 10-foot hole. It's the same ratio.
Yeah.
It's the same percentage of depth increase. But, you know, when people go along, and it's just like when we talk about the ledges in the Gulf.
Yeah.
And when I think of ledges, I'm thinking, you know, the abyss. I'm
yeah.
thinking you're going along, and I was like, boom. They don't realize we're talking about a foot, 18-inch ledge.
Which is huge.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so everything that we do on this coast of Florida, the West Coast, always you have to kind of temperament it. When we say potholes, we're really talking about more slight depressions.
Yeah. A dent.
A dent in the bottom, yeah. So, but the flats are just that. It's just a very shallow area. Yes, I am working on the computer and doing all this stuff too often at the same time. And I don't know why it was dinging a minute ago. All right, anyway, Pine Island Sound. I'm going to guess you're going to say trout. I'm not going along with the whiting thing. I'm going to go along with small sharks, trout. Now, these are guesses. Some Spanish mackerel in the ICW and a little bit of tarpon cruising the ICW for as far as anchoring up and fishing for onesies, twosies.
Yep.
Did I get it right?
It's pretty darn accurate. The only thing you're missing is the oddball sharks that have been around. There's been kind of a mixed gamut down there. You know, the little bonnet heads, some little black tips, black nose. But a few guys have actually been hooking into some bigger lemons down there, like in the 5 to 7 foot range, with a couple bull sharks in that 3 to 6 foot range. You know, and a lot of people got to pay attention to that when they're catching those little sharks right now. That, you know, all of our bull sharks, all of our sharks really for that matter, have given birth by now. And most of your bull sharks gave birth back in March, April, and May. When those pups are born, they're 18 to 24 inches long. So now they're at that 24 to 30 inch range, but they look very similar to a black tip.
And it's almost hard to tell the difference, except one's nose is a little more rounded.
A little bit.
And the black tips aren't pronounced
right
on the bull shark. But because sometimes those bull sharks have a little darker edges by the tips of their fins, you know, and it fades more as they get older. Kind of like if you have a black drum, it looks a lot like a sheephead, very distinct black stripes when it's young. But as it gets older, it fades out. Sometimes the ends of the fins have a little darker color on a bull shark.
Right.
And there is no way to tell the difference. Like, people think a lemon shark is yellow.
Yeah.
And a bull shark is gray.
It's got horns on it.
Yeah, it's got horns on it. But they're both the same color. And yeah, it's almost impossible to tell the two species. Except when you look at a lemon shark, the dorsal fin and the fin right by... over its where the tail starts.
Caudal fin,
one right by the tail, are the same size. And on a bull shark, the rear fin on the top of the fish is much smaller.
Absolutely.
So it's a fin identification, not a color identification. I think because they say lemon shark, and I'm not sure why they would get the name lemon. Maybe years ago when the water was a lot clearer, they had more of a yellowish tint or something?
Maybe.
Maybe they're... maybe they're tangy when you eat them.
I don't know.
I haven't noticed that because I used to eat lemon shark, and I never noticed they have a tangy, tart taste. So I have no idea how they got to be called lemon. I understand bull shark. They're mean, stupid, charge you shark. I mean, they're just freaking nuts, you know. But lemons, I still don't get how they got the name. All right. Anyway,
I'll have to ask that, and I'll have to call Greg Palakis. He would know how they came up with the name with that.
Yeah, and to me, I don't get it. But anyway, let's jump up to Placida and see what's going on in Placida.
Placida, that's been hit or miss, but it's been a little more consistent than some of the other piers. Some Spanish mackerel off of it. Some of the guys I'm getting a few whiting. A lot of small mangrove snapper underneath the pier. I've heard of one guy actually got three nice sheep's head off of it last week. He was flipped out. He was snapper fishing and caught a 14-inch, a 16-inch, and I think the other one was a little bit smaller than those, but he said they were all nice fish. It surprised him. Been a few snook there during the evening time and at night. And then the jacks have been coming through pretty consistently with a few oddball pompano, too. So it's kind of a mixed gamut out there. A lot of little, what I call hobberdobbers. You know, little pinfish and pigfish and...
Hobberdobbers?
Hobberdobbers. Just little miscellaneous dudes.
Nothing I know bad. In 20 years I've probably heard you say that, but it's, what, 19 years we've been working together?
Yep.
And this is the first time on Radio Fishing... For all you boys and girls out there, there are certain things that happen once in a while in your life that just deserve recognition. And I'm going to call the Hobberdobber experience a definite good day to be alive and be in the bait business. It's a Hobberdobber day. I'm just excited to be here. I cannot tell you how terrific this is. Okay, and the crowd agrees with me. It's a Hobberdobber day. All right,
nice.
But we're back. Okay, now let me go back.
I keep a straight face if that is beyond me.
Because it's true. Uh-huh. I feel Hobberdobber. I am a Hobberdobber person. I can Hobberdobber. You can Hobberdobber. We can Hobberdobber. They can Hobberdobber. It is a Hobberdobber day. And I am. All right, let's Hobberdobber this. All right, we have Ponce de Leon, Poacher's Cut, Elizabeth Park, Barge Canal, Gilcrest Pier, all of these systems of the Punta Gorda and PGI canals. And that's the topic of discussion. This is not a Hobberdobber. This is a PGI Harbor Dobbers are different than the PGI canals.
Yes.
Now, there are Harbor Dobbers living in PGI.
Right.
But we're not going to go into that.
Your
that would be racist. He's lost.
Yes.
There's a microphone right there. Go ahead. If you're going to talk, pick that up. I'll turn it on. If you're going to talk, pick it up. Go ahead.
No chance. Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Nice.
There's headphones right there. All right. We have a special guest star, guest appearance, the one and only, the world famous. It's Heather. Yes.
So famous.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You will be. All right.
Only if I can hobber dobber, but
nice.
Now, don't you think that hobber dobber would be the word of the day? I mean, you look like a person who'd be good at hobber dobber.
I'm pretty hobber dobberific, so.
Yes.
Really? Wow. Now we're nice.
Can you tell it's my daughter?
Yeah. You think? You think?
Boys and girls out there.
Square fruit.
Yeah, this is a square fruit. The fruit fell right from the tree and didn't roll an inch. But what we've got, Heather has come back to work to Fish and Frank's here for a while, hopefully a while, and she's setting up our new website. And
crowd goes wild.
Yes, the crowd is going to go crazy on this one because Heather is our new IT person who's going to be just taking over the websites, building it bigger, better, stronger, and it's ever been done before.
I don't know if I can handle all this excitement.
Okay. Okay, everybody. You know, our studio audience, they're such nice people. I mean, we have such a crowd that shows up for this. It's really kind of cool. Okay. We are talking about the Punta Gorda canals. Okay. And what kind of fish do we got over there?
A lot of black drum.
A lot of black drum.
The black drum have moved in phenomenal numbers into there. And then there's still a ton of little juvenile tarpon moving throughout there. And then the jacks have been kind of, some of the guys have been getting super excited about those because they've moved from like the 3 pounders up to like the 5 to 8 pounders, you know, which will beat you up, especially if you're standing on your dock.
Yeah.
You know, that makes it real interesting. Moving out to the mouths of the canals, especially like Ponce de Leon, there's been a few bigger snook there and lots of black drums still moving in and out of there. Even the tarpon that have been out front from Fisherman's Village, say over towards Colony Point, they've been breaking loose at mid-morning and kind of moving into the mouths of the canals too. So it's a good little mixed bag.
All right. Let's go over to Port Charlotte canals. What's going on the PC side of the world?
Some of the same stuff. I mean, there's a lot of black drum, a lot of little tarpon through there. The main thing,
hobber.
There's hobber dobbers in there too.
Dobber.
Oh, see.
Yeah. Nice.
I do the hobber. She does the dobber.
Nice. There's plenty of them in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's way too early in the season for the hobbers and dobbers.
I don't know.
You might find a few hobbers, but Heather, do you really think there's gonna be any dobbers there?
I think so. I'm always a dobber. I'm always dobber hopeful.
You're dobber hopeful.
Always.
Okay. Yeah. So. Okay. Anyway.
This is good.
Come on, Robert.
Nothing like being in a vice.
What we were saying was in the canals in Port Charlotte.
Black drum, juvenile tarpon, hobber dobbers.
I think I'm going to go back over this recording and find out, because I don't think that's what he said a minute ago. Was it? No.
It was. It was silently said.
Oh, okay.
No, it was said. It was just worded maybe a little differently. There's a lot of sand brim in there, too. I've been getting some good mixed reports of the sand brim. A lot of guys are seeing some Mayan cichlid moving around in there, too. We were looking at them behind the house the other day.
Spell cichlid.
C-I-C-L-I-D.
Okay, C-I-C-L-D. Okay.
L-I-D.
Okay, C-I-C-L-I-D?
Yeah, okay. I think.
Yeah, it's probably close. Good eating fish. Mayan cichlids are a freshwater fish from South America, Central America.
Correct. Both.
Both. South and Central America and all that. But that freshwater fish is very, very salt tolerant.
Yeah. A lot more so than most people predicted.
Yeah, we didn't think they would go into the saltwater canals and thrive the way they have. because now once if we don't get any rain and the rivers quit flowing and everything else, they're smart enough, they just keep pushing back up the canals further and further towards the end of the canals where the freshwater dams are, because it's the last place to get salt. They won't live in as much salt as what's in the Gulf.
Right.
So if we had like a year drought or a 2 year drought, it would wipe them out of the saltwater areas. Yeah. But what's funny about it is they go back up the river. Yeah. They're like gar. They'll come all the way down in here as long as there's fresh water. As soon as it starts getting a little too salty, they'll just bail and go back.
And they're much faster swimmers than gar are.
Yeah. So well, gar spend so much time going around in circles. I mean, I'm not trying to diss the gar. I mean, let's face it, I'm not racist. I don't believe the gar are a subspecies. I don't believe they're inferior as a species. I'm just saying they spend a lot of time going around in circles.
Sounds like the gar is my spirit animal.
Your spirit animal?
Pretty sure.
Do you spend a lot of time going around in circles, Heather?
It's perpetual condition.
Perpetual condition. Okay. Well, she does take after her dad in one thing. I walk out of the room, get in the other room, and forgot why I left that room to go in the other room for her.
Yep.
I hate that. I'll be sitting in the office and say, I got to go get. And I walk out to the front counter, and why am I here? Yep. I lost it. Okay. Anyway, we are in the Port Charlotte Canals. We got that, the Mayan cichlid, sandbrim. Sandbrim, most underrated fish in the harbor. I would say ranks among the top five best-eating saltwater fish of all.
Oh, yeah.
Best way
to... Anyone disagrees with you on that doesn't eat fish.
Exactly. It's like people who think little snook tastes bigger than big snook. It's because they never caught any big snook.
Right.
That's the only thing I can think of, because big snook tastes way better than small snook. We've left that. We are in Ponarasa, Sanibel. What's going on around the inside, outside of Sanibel?
The only thing I've heard of right there around the Sanibel Causeway, there's been some tarp in there, especially in the evenings all through the night and into the first light of the morning. Been a few Goliath grouper hanging around, mostly smaller, you know, that 20 to 50 pounders. A few snook and a few jacks moving in and out of there. And then if you move right outside the front side of Sanibel there, there's Knapp's Point. There's been tarpon all over the place. Well, not all over the place. They've been moving a lot because of this full moon, but they've been catching them pretty consistently there. Haven't heard much around Ponarasa for some reason. I think a lot of the guys are moving a little bit further north because the water's been so wishy-washy.
Yeah, you got all that Okeechobee water trying to make as much of it go out of Ponarasa as probably.
Yeah.
You know, the one problem with that is right there, the state, you know, it comes, if you're looking from Tampa all the way down to Cayo Costa, it's pretty much a nice, even edge.
Yeah.
But as soon as you get down where Captiva, Sanibel, and then it curves way in, mm-hmm. and it creates kind of a swirling eddy right there. And right. all that water coming out of the Coosahatchee has a hard time releasing out of that eddy. And that's one of the reasons we get a lot of red tide there. We get a lot of more of the nasty stuff happens right there off the bottom of Sanibel than, say, up by Captiva.
Right.
Because Captiva, the water on the west coast of Florida flows from north to south. Because as the water comes in, there's that Gulf current, the Gulf Stream current in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's spinning that way. I guess it would be clockwise.
Clockwise,
because
yeah.
the water comes from Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, and down Florida back
Don't
towards
they call
the
it the loop current?
Yeah, the loop current. But it's pulling the water north to south along the face of Florida. But as it comes past that bottom of Sanibel, there's that big dip. And that causes kind of an eddy, a swirling bit there. And it makes it hard for some of that garbage to get out of it and right. dissipate through the Gulf. Weird little side effect. If people right. are wondering why Sanibel has more problems with Okeechobee, when I said we handle it better than the East Coast, which is true, we have a lot more passes, everything else for the water to get out of. But that one little weird spot, that little indent, yeah. causes a lot of problems there.
Yes, it does.
So anyway, going on down, walking the beaches. If you were going to walk the beach, what? And this could be Venice, Sanibel, Captiva. You know, Cayo Costa, Boca, Englewood. If you're walking the beaches, anything you could expect to catch? Just casting from shore, walking the beach?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a mixed variety along the beaches. The weird part is there's no snook. Plenty of whiting, some small jacks and blue runners cruising along the surf and even out just a little bit further out from the surf line. Been some incidental redfish. A lot of little bonnet heads, especially as you get closer to the passes, whether it's Stump Pass, Boca Grande, any of the passes. Seems like the bonnet head activity gets really pretty exciting. At night has been the real big thing for some of the snook have been moving out of the passes for some reason.
All right, let me go back a little bit. We talked. You hit a bunch of little sharks. Anything in that 6-8 foot range? Any bull sharks, lemons?
I haven't heard of any. Hammerhead? No.
Okay.
You know, I would think there would be some out there because this is a time of year when they get pretty exciting, but nope, haven't heard much about it. It's just mainly the bonnet heads and the occasional little black tip, but still fun. At least that's good light tackle fishing and you don't have to bring a darn kayak with you and
right. No, you're
do all
right.
that garbage.
So, snook kind of long at night.
Yeah.
Any pompano crews in the shoreline, anything?
I've heard of a couple, but nothing consistent.
Sailfish?
No.
No?
No.
Right.
No. Purple marlin.
Purple marlin. Cool. I always like when the purple marlin come in, because the next thing that will come in, what follows the purple marlin, Heather? Hobberdobbers.
Hobberdobbers.
There's once you see a purple marlin, you know the hobberdobbers are just not far behind.
Exactly.
There's hobbers and dobbers and hobberdobbers.
We've got the gar theory happening just right now.
Oh, okay.
The gar effect.
Spinning around in circles.
Yeah.
We're just working in circles.
With hobberdobbers.
There you go.
I don't know what I want to break out and we are the lollipop thing, the lollipop thing. Never mind. Okay. We're heading over to the West Wall.
Thankfully.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the West Wall. Let's go to the West Wall.
Perfect.
Okay.
A lot of redfish along the West Wall. Most of the guys are just catching right at the mouths of all the creeks. And then any place where you're seeing some pockets of moving water coming out from underneath the bushes. And they're catching them on an assortment of stuff. Most of the guys are doing their best on pinfish, crabs, and cut ladyfish or cut mullet. This is a time of year where those fish are super lethargic, so they want something that's kind of a guaranteed food item. So it's either got to be very slow or very stinky. You know, and
it's amazing. We get people are going right down here by the bridge to fish, and they insist on having live shrimp. And you put a live shrimp on the hook, and you throw it into that water. It's going to live about 40 seconds. You yeah. might get 5 minutes out of that live mm-hmm. shrimp, and then you're fishing with a dead shrimp.
Yeah.
And you can buy a bag of frozen. You get almost four dozen for like $3.50, and you're paying $2.50 to $3 or more for a dozen live shrimp. And they all end up the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's still the best one ever was that couple from Punta Gorda.
Okay.
The ones that they kept buying the live shrimp new to the area, and we were out of shrimp because it was this time of year. So we talked them into getting the frozen shrimp. They come in the next day with their camera. She caught like a 42-inch snook, redfish, snapper. They had like the best night
ever. I remember them now. Yeah, because they come in bragging. They had the best day of fishing they ever had. And then got mad at us because we didn't have live shrimp.
Yeah. We talked them into buying frozen shrimp because they'd been using live shrimp. They're like, use frozen. It works. It works. And then they come in, how great it was, how great it was. Give me two dozen live. What? Really? Seriously?
Yeah. It happens.
It was just amazing. I mean, they had these pictures, I mean, on their camera and their phone that they were showing us with these phenomenal fish. All on frozen shrimp, and then they had to get live again.
It's got to be force of habit. That's the only thing that makes any
yeah.
sense. All right. Anything else on the west side? Anything out on the bar?
There's been a few oddball pompano and a few oddball trout, but nothing consistent. Okay. The water is surprisingly clearer down there than I would have gave it credit for, but I think the lack of rain we had throughout last week and it finally just starting back up again, it's some pretty good water, but just no activity.
All right. Let's see. Anything else you would like to add to this, Heather?
No, I got nothing. running
doing
low
the
on coffee.
You're doing the gar there.
The gar.
I saw the circle. I saw you spin right around.
Lots of spinning.
Okay. Hobber Dobber, how about you? anywhere else we're going? Did we do anything in the deep holes?
No, I don't remember doing the deep holes.
All right, let's.
Wait a minute, we did.
Oh yeah, we did them yesterday. And, yes. Yeah, that's right. Okay, I think we're about done.
Yeah,
we've kind of hopscotched around. Next week we'll be on more of a pattern. We did spend this last week at ICAST. Nothing really stood out for me at ICAST. Heather, did you see anything at ICAST? Heather, being our new internet technician, we went there to, you know, get all this information about the new website and everything and get help from companies and all that. Your website's going to be pretty cool, huh?
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be really amazing with tons of new product, and we're pretty excited about it. But at ICAST, I think my favorite thing I saw was the single hook lure from, was that
Rapala?
Rapala, yeah. Yeah, no, that was great. I'm excited about those.
Yeah. The one thing about, the only thing I saw that was kind of new and different, if you're into duck lures, if you like rubber duckies,
oh,
stretch ducks, swimming ducks, surface action ducks, diving ducks, swimming rats.
Yeah.
There was a lot of swimming rats there, lot of duck lures. Why all of a sudden? And I mean, it was weird. Like two or three companies came out with duck lures.
Right.
Now, I understand musky fishing is a big thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, how did they all get the same idea at the same year? Last year, there was no duck lures.
No.
There was not a duck wing to be reeled and cast or spun or twisted or anything. And this year, they had different types of duck lures.
Just tells you how insider trading goes on.
I guess so. Oh, my gosh. That was weird.
George came up with the idea 2 years ago at this one company, and then he quit and took the idea to the other company, and they still rolled with it.
I don't think... are we going to buy any duck lures just to have a couple?
I think we should have a couple.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go iffy on the rat, so... I mean, it actually looks like
a
rodent.
It's a pretty cool-looking rodent, though.
It's a pretty cool-looking
rodent. I don't think it'll
rodent.
Be a big seller.
I wonder if tarpon would eat a rodent.
In a skinny minute.
Really?
I'll catch one on a duck.
Yeah, absolutely.
You think?
I'll bet you.
A duck.
I'll take the Pepsi challenge of that one. I'll bet I could get a tarpon to eat that.
You think you can get a tarpon to eat a duck?
Yep.
Now,
I really do think I could.
I shouldn't be surprised because for part of the year, I mean, Charlotte Harbor has thousands of ducks in it. Literally thousands.
Yeah.
And so it does stand to reason that at one point or another, I mean, they are fish, and fish eat ducks and frogs and birds and whatever else they can eat. They eat, you know, garbage can with a mouth. So,
yeah.
But you guys are really thinking ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right.
I mean, I think we got to carry it just for the sheer novelty part of it because guys are going to buy it just to have it. They're going to buy it to send to their buddies up north and say, hey, have you seen this? Because I remember we used to watch, you know, turtles and pike and everything else eat ducks. You know, this is kind of cool. You know, just bring back some memories from your childhood of fishing.
Watching a bass hit a duckling was...
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there's a duckling, boom, there, it's gone.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in Arizona, I saw it with a catfish. You know, it had to be a catfish because it was the only thing I saw swim kind of by after the duckling disappeared. So, I mean...
Nature's mean.
Yeah.
It darn sure ain't no Disney movie, is it?
Yeah. And the funny part is like, okay, you got the ducks are, you know, the guys are talking about them for muskie and pike, and they're just kind of associating it with a small geographic area, but you've got Sweden, Germany, a lot of Europe has a big pike population.
Oh, yeah.
And there'll be a killer lure to sell over there, too, so it's not just going to be
one company was from Sweden who brought it out. And what's weird is the other companies from Europe, too.
Right.
Because Savage is a European company, and they've just recently come to the U.S., but they've been doing in Europe for years. And what's funny is the other company was from Sweden. Now, I don't remember what country Savage is from, but I don't think it's Sweden.
Yeah, I don't remember where Savage is from,
but
either.
Two European companies, same...
Like
same.
I said, George got fired and took the idea with him to the other place.
Yeah.
It's gotta be. got to be.
Yeah. So anyway, weird. Yeah. You know, Rapala kind of lagged on that. I don't believe they have a duck.
No, they don't have a duck.
I don't think they got a duck.
No.
Rapala, what were you thinking? You didn't come out with a duck?
No, but they came out with some really cool poppers on the Williamson side for the saltwater guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Those look pretty
we're going to be going heavy
and
in
moderately priced.
And CNH this year. We're going way back into CNH. We're going to stock a lot more CNH because there is so much more going out in the Gulf. We're going to go back into some of the old CNH lures.
There you go.
Because they're just cool lures.
Right.
So, anyway, I can't think of anything else. Anything else we need to talk about?
No, not that I can think of.
Heather, anything?
Nope. I think you covered it.
Oh, and people like that. They really enjoy when we're done. You know, I know the producer just waves his hand and they all start applauding. All right. This is Fish and Frank in the chair. There's Robert in the chair across from me. And special guest today is my daughter, Heather, and our new IT person. And we're going to, I think, end this part two of Radio Fishing, Area Fishing Report. And thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And say goodbye, Heather.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
God, I love having Henny Youngman as a sideman. All right, boys and girls, we'll see you. We'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.